Hi folks, this is Bob Main, and welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show. Keeping things rooted in common sense, no tinfoil hattery on this show. I just talk about preparedness from a common sense perspective. It's my goal to help you harness the power of choice to strengthen your resolve. This is episode number 141. Of today's Survival Show. Thanks for downloading and listening. As promised in the last episode, I have an interview for you. My good friend Matt Chustnik, who lives in Austin, Texas, he's a former Wisconsinite like me. He's a good old cheesehead from up north in Wisconsin. We got together and we talked about volunteerism and training. And so that's kind of what this is about. You know, how you can get free training by being a volunteer. So that's why I decided to call it volunteerism. You know, I think that what you know sometimes is just as important as what you have in terms of supplies. It's just kind of my personal opinion. And, you know, if you look at people who survive disasters, if you look at people that survive everyday disasters, not just weather disasters or natural disasters or anything like that, but just normal stink hit the fan events that happen in our life, a lot of it's because of their brain power. Would you agree? A lot of it's because of what they know and how they can mitigate the damages because they have smarts. They know how to do things. So it just seems to me that the more you know, the better off that you're going to be. I'm not discounting supplies, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be stocking supplies or stocking up on tools and storing food and water and shelter-making supplies and bug-out bags and things like that. All that is absolutely vitally important. But what have you been trained on? What have you done to invest in yourself? That's what we're going to talk about. So Matt's going to share some ideas and some things that he's actually been doing. He's going to share some personal experiences with us, and I think that's kind of cool. Before I turn on the interview, let me just cover a couple of things real quick, a couple of announcements. The website is todayssurvival.com, todayssurvival.com. Hey, folks, would you do me a favor? I'm in the process of switching over to a new hosting company. In other words, there's going to be a new company that's going to host all of the files for this show. There's a little bit of an added expense, but it's going to be for your benefit. The benefit is you're going to get faster downloads. I'm going to be able to do more content and make things a little bit more sophisticated for you, for your experience, even if you use iTunes to download the podcast. So as most of you know, I put together the Survival Champions Club. I call it the Champions Club because, again, I'm such a believer in knowledge and I'm such a believer in training that I put together some unique information that I have not covered on this show before. It's only $15. Your investment will give you over a couple of hours of excellent material that I've never covered on this show. And also, in addition, it's going to help keep this show running, help it keep it running smooth and offset some of the expenses that I have with the podcast, the blog, and the forum. And I'm going to start expanding the YouTube channel and things like that pretty soon. So that would be very much appreciated. Just go to todayssurvival.com, click the Survival Champions Club podcast, and you can see how you can sign up, make your investment, and I will email you a link, and you can download that directly to your computer, put it on your iPod, MP3 player, or what have you. And also, don't forget to join our forum. And by the way, folks, I don't have any sponsors on this show. If you notice, I try not to make this real commercial. I don't like commercialism. I don't have sponsors. So this is a listener-supported show only. And don't forget to join our forum, and nearly 700 members now on the forum, growing slowly but growing surely. And there's a forum button at the main page of todayssurvival.com. That's it. That's all the announcements I want to make. I keep that short and sweet. Here's a quick break, and then Matt Chustnik and I are going to talk about volunteerism and free training. Stay tuned.
All right, for the main topic of this episode, for the second time, I've got Matt Chusnick doing a quick interview with me. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Well, good. Thanks for coming on again. You know, the last interview you did with me on blacksmithing and knife sharpening got a lot of hits, a lot of downloads, and a lot of good reviews. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I've actually passed it around to a bunch of my family, so they all listened. But also, I got in touch with Andrea, Penguin of Doom.
Oh, great, yeah.
And I did some barbecue stuff, and I taught her some knife sharpening.
Yeah, great, good. So that you were able to make a connection for with another member. That's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it actually helped me even build up my network a little bit, so.
Yeah, that's cool. So that was all those hits and downloads. It was all your family members, right?
Well, about three or four people, yeah.
Oh, you mean you don't have 3,000 family members, huh?
No, well, at least not that know me.
So you did a barter agreement with Andrea, Penguin of Doom.
Yes, I did. She came out, and she was interested. She was down in the Austin area doing some training for the CCL class.
Right.
Or CHL.
CHL class, yep.
And, you know, so she came down. She's like, look, what can we trade for? And I'm interested in learning how to shoot and stuff, but I don't have a gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked. You know, I never grew up with guns. I think I've shot, in my lifetime, I've shot a .22, like, mm-hmm. three times. And, you know, but so I worked a trade with her, and she gave me a really nice PowerPoint presentation in trade for the learning how to sharpen, and let me handle the guns that she had brought along, show me the difference between how these things felt.
Great. And
so it was a nice good trade, and that PowerPoint was a fantastic piece of information on how to choose your first gun, what to look for, things to look at in doing it.
Oh, I want to see that. Matter of fact, I might even bring her on the show and talk about that. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. We're going to get started with the main topic here in a minute. But, you know, I want to let everybody know who's listening to this. This is an example how bartering works. Bartering really does work. And, you know, you just have to ask. You have to make a connection with people, and you have to ask. And I think there's so many people that forget about doing it, and it seems to have worked for you in this case. And you and I traded a little bit recently, and
yeah.
I'm sure enjoying the nice sharp edge you put on my knife.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad it's still good and sharp and working out for you. And I have to be honest, I actually haven't had a chance to sit down and listen to all the podcasts that we traded for, those special episodes.
That's okay.
I've speaking been digging through a lot of stuff.
Well, speaking of podcasts, you said you've listened to every one of mine now.
Every one of your podcasts of both Today's Survival Show. I am 100% caught up. Anytime you post a new one now, it gets onto my iPod and it gets listened to.
How have you been able to put up with me that many times? Give me a break.
Actually, Bob, you know, you're from Wisconsin, so it's kind of that homesickness thing.
Well, all right. Well, thanks again for, you know, listening to all of my shows, and that's very flattering. So let's get started with what the main purpose of this interview is. And you emailed me recently, and you kind of wanted to talk about ways for people to get some free training. And I know you want to talk about some of your blacksmith training and stuff, don't you?
Well, I thought about that, but, you know, one of the common questions I get when people see me doing blacksmithing is, how do I do that? And how can I get into that? Because they're interested. And so, you know, here in Austin, there are a couple of ways, and I give them a few different routes to take an example. But one of the ways that I've been discovering that is probably the easiest and the best way is go volunteer.
Oh,
now,
great.
I went and I joined an organization here in Central Texas that's, you know, blacksmithing group, and they teach a lot of stuff. So that gave me some initial experience. But there's also a place I volunteer at called Pioneer Farms, and it's a living history museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically different settings in Texas pioneer life in the throughout the 1800s. And have several different little farms, and they have a little village up in the front area and stuff. And if any of our members, if any of the people who listen have young kids and watch PBS and have ever seen the Biscuit Brothers, this is where they actually film all the outdoor sequences for the Biscuit Brothers.
Is that right? Pioneer Farms in Austin.
Yes.
Yeah, now I've met you at Pioneer Farms, and that yes. seems like it's kind of a cool place.
It's a very cool place, and it's, you know, it's a great way to spend it. And they're trying to do a lot of new stuff. So, you know, it sounds like I'm coming in. I sat through a board meeting the other day, and it sounds like I'm coming in at just the right time. So, it's a fantastic time to be out there. But I volunteered to be a blacksmith out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a guy who's been blacksmithing since he was 16.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he's only in his late 40s. You know, he's you know, late 40s, early 50s. You know, so you know he's been doing it since he was 16, and just happened to be in the right place, right time, and found people to teach him. And so it's like I'm learning all these new skills. I mean, this man helped me make my first knife.
Wow!
You guys saw up on the forum there. I've posted up some pictures of my first knives.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, you know, Matt, this is really neat, and I'm glad. You know, hold your thoughts there for a minute because I want to interject something. You know, I've talked so much about, you know, what you know. I think is more important than what you have. This is kind of my personal opinion. Some in the preparedness world may differ with me, but I think what's in your brain, first of all, can be carried around with you all the time at no extra cost and no extra weight. And what you know sometimes has a lot more to do with your survivability than what you have. And you're going out there and getting training. And a lot of people have emailed me. They say, how do I get training? And I like the fact that you bring up the volunteer aspect of it. So what motivated you to do that? What motivated you to volunteer?
Well, I've been unemployed for like the last 2 years, as you know, and mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything sitting around a house. Even if I'm sending out resumes, it doesn't take me 8 or 9 hours, and there's only so long you can send resumes out for 8 or 9 hours.
True.
You know, and so it's like, I decided, you know, the unemployment's gone, and I'm looking for new ways to make some income and stuff. And I thought, well, gee, if I can get out to the farm and learn some more, maybe I can start incorporating this, and I have access to two different forges. Because I live in an apartment. I don't actually have my own forge. So volunteering, again, is a fantastic opportunity for me to actually get time on doing this.
Sure. Sure. You
know? And so it was just one of those things where I was like, gee, you know, I can do that, and I can be out there, and I can make maybe some contacts with people and start talking with people. And, you know, Pioneer Farms actually offers classes for people in blacksmithing and knife making, but also in like Dutch oven cooking and, you know, open hearth cooking. You know,
that's great.
Camp type cooking, and they're looking for more and more different classes. And so I'm going to be talking to some people, and maybe I'll start teaching some sharpening classes out there.
And you know what I like most about what you're doing is you're reinventing yourself. You know, if you remember, it wasn't too long ago I did a podcast called Reinvent Yourself, and
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of people that are out of work, and, you know, they say that they can't find work. And what I find, and you're kind of proving it, that a lot of people, when they reinvent themselves, and what I mean by that is when they go out and learn new skills, whether it's by volunteering or working part-time or whatever, then sometimes it's easier to get back into the workforce.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm doing little bits and things here and there, and, you know, I've got a friend who does some material handling type moving stuff for corporate clients, and he'll hire me on part-time basis, you know, but he doesn't do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And so I get a little bit that way, but I do some sharpening on the side, and, you know, I meet some people and have done that, and actually may actually have a deal with a local cloth store and sewing store that to come out and actually set up on their porch twice a month and do sharpening for people while they go in and shop.
That's great.
And, you know, so it's all this kind of stuff is just kind of doing things. But, you know, it's not even learning. The thing I wanted to kind of steer away from was, yeah, I'm learning the blacksmithing, and that's great. And there's all sorts of other things that you can learn by volunteering at a museum place like this, a living history museum, you know, with like blacksmithing, woodworking, old ways of cooking, possibly some animal caretaking. I mean, because we've got, you know, I was involved in a roundup of longhorns the other day. We had the longhorns broke out of their pen, so we had to go round these things up.
Cool.
And, well, it was kind of cool, and I'm trying to figure out how to add the cowboy bit to my resume now.
Yeah, how's that going to fit into your repertoire, right?
Yeah, exactly, you know. But I think I've earned it since if anybody's ever seen a longhorn.
I have, many times.
Well, we've got one out there that's a nice brown, tan-brown longhorn. Has got to be almost as big as my car.
That's great.
I mean, I drive a Honda CR-V, you know, for people to get kind of an idea of how big it is. And then she had at least a 6-foot span on those horns.
No kidding.
And I was out there, and another guy was kind of herding them up toward me, and he's like, yeah, just stand over there so they don't go that way. And I said, okay. And fortunately, I did have a little knowledge that longhorns were pretty peaceable animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty mellow and do things, you know. But she decided she was going to test me out a little bit. And she turned and she faced me and she dropped her head and looked at me like, you going to run? Huh? Huh? You going to run? I kind of looked to the sides and I'm like, okay, I've got room to run if I have to, but...
I'm trying to picture this. This is interesting. I'm trying to picture it.
Yeah. Well, you can come out to the farm, and I'll show you the one that did it to me.
Yeah. Well, so that's so now you got experience as a cattle rustler. That's great. So
yeah.
See what volunteering does? It does a lot.
It does. But I was also thinking about things, and I'm like, well, you know, you can volunteer for the Red Cross, and depending on what you do with the Red Cross, you know, you suddenly are getting some of that training. Because mm-hmm. when I was a kid, you used to volunteer for the Red Cross, and you would pick up some of the CPR training or basic first aid training, depending on what you did.
That's right.
You know, and I'm not sure if they still do that, but they, I mean, that's what they used to do.
Well, there's good Red Cross training that's available now, too.
Yeah, you know, and then... There's a thing down here if you want to garden. You want to learn about organic gardening. There's a group down here that helps put in organic gardens into people's backyards or help set up community gardens.
What's the name of that group? There might be some folks interested in that.
They're called the Green Corn. The Green Corn is based here in Austin, but other people, I think, may be doing it around the country.
Okay.
And and if they're not, you know, my goodness, they should be, because there's a lot of people out there that want to start gardening. And what Green Corn does is they help people build a raised bed and
nice.
Do it in there and teach people about organic gardening. And their whole emphasis is on, you know, doing the garden in an order so that you get the most benefits out of what you're growing, and growing, you know, not really growing flowers or anything, but growing food, so that, you know, they and they're really focused in on you know, low-income families who maybe need some of this stuff, and they're trying to help them, you know, grow their own fruits or grow their own vegetables and things so that they can have some healthy food that they don't have to buy in a store.
Okay.
And if these people are on, you know, if they're on like the food stamp program here in Texas, allows you to buy seeds, allows you to buy food seeds, you know, like tomato seeds and lettuce and that stuff, as part of it, and that's covered in there so that people can grow, and they actually encourage people to do that.
Nice.
Which is, yeah, it's one of the progressive things about, you know, the Texas things are like, look, you can grow your own food and save money. And so it's, I mean, so there's really some interesting things there with that that are helping people out. And they're always looking for volunteers.
And okay, so it's an organization called Green Corn.
It is called Green Corn, and they are based here in Austin. And you can look them up online and just Google up Green Corn.
Okay.
And it should come up fairly quick.
Let me try it real quick.
Yeah. But they do all sorts of, you know, it's organic gardening, and it's designed specifically for low-income homeowners. But they do work with community gardens, and they do work with people with rental property. If mm-hmm. you're renting like a duplex or something, all they need is permission from the owner, from the landlord, and, you know, they'll come out and they'll build it. But, you know, two or three times I get, and, you know, hey, we're looking for people to volunteer and come to this training class. And the training classes are teaching people how to build the roost beds
mm-hmm.
and how to dig things out and then how to put in, you know, how you're going to be putting in the dirt and helping with the plants and stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm on their website, Green Corn Project, Feeding Austin One Garden at a Time. This is great. Now, you know, for listeners that are not from the Austin, Texas area, I'll bet you if they do some Google searching, they're probably, and just, you know, maybe do some Google searching on organic gardening projects, you're probably going to find something in their area.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. It's just like, you know, or, you know, if we want to go on to a national level, how about Habitat for Humanity?
Yep, that's true.
Fantastic yep. organization.
Yes.
And you can, you know, helping low-income families move their own homes. And they're building them from the ground up.
Yeah, what a great thing that would be for somebody to put on their resume if they're unemployed, you know, that they spent some time building houses for Habitat for Humanity.
Well, exactly. I mean, and I know yeah. Habitat's not the only one that does it.
Right.
But, you know, they're of immediately off of my head, but they, you know, you get the skills, and I know Habitat breaks you up into different groups, so you might go with a group of people that are framing out the house mm-hmm. for one day of volunteering, and you learn basic framing, and they'll teach you that, and then as you progress, how to do drywall, you might be stringing electrical lines. I mean, how important could that be?
Yeah,
you know, it's in this day and age, so many people have gotten away from the idea. I mean, when I was a kid, and you know, and people kind of look at me funny, but you know, I tell people, you know, when I was a kid, I helped, you know, I earned money in high school, helping people, you know, paint their houses and doing small repairs around their houses.
Yeah,
you know, I grew up on the east side of Milwaukee, and we had all sorts of, you know, 18th and 19th century houses sitting out there that people were living in and just had been modernized through the years. And so, you know, we had the old double-hung windows with the big storm windows that you had to pull on and the screens that you had to put on and off all year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. You know, I'm from Wisconsin. I remember all that stuff, too. That's, you yeah. know, boy, you're making me homesick now, Matt.
But, you know, people used to, I mean, you know, I used to help people with that. I, you know, I know how to glaze windows. I know how to put a screen replacement screen in. I mean, in a pinch, I can hang a door. Not very well, but I can hang a door. You know, I can do basic plumbing and things. And so many people have gotten away from that. It's like they're almost afraid of getting dirty.
Well, you know, and you know, the volunteerism that you have done, that's what's taught you most of those skills, isn't it?
Actually, I learned most of the building stuff. I learned as on the job. I learned in high school. Somebody would pay me, you know, $5 an hour.
Okay.
Come out and help, and they had to teach me. I've never volunteered for Habitat.
Okay.
I've always kept thinking about doing it, and just one thing or another has always come up to make it not happen. But there's all sorts of projects like that.
Well, yeah, you know, and when I was a kid, when I was younger, you know, like less than 20 years old, and growing up in Wisconsin, I did a lot of work for farmers. And there was actually one farmer that I wanted to work for and get paid, and he was a pretty prominent farmer in the area. He made me volunteer for 2 days first before he decided to hire me. He wanted to see if I really would work.
Exactly. Oh, no, I mean, I've had... you know, I mean, most of the jobs that I got were from teachers. You know, here you go. You know, times have changed. When I was a kid, you know, the teachers would actually hire you to do moving and repairs around their houses. And now if they were to do something like that, oh, geez, you know, phone calls would be coming to the school principal. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, nothing ever happened. It was... They hired me to paint the room.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or they hired me to hang storm windows. You know, they needed an extra set of hands, and they were looking for somebody who was willing to do it. I mean, I mowed lawns, you know.
Well, you know, and what you've described is something that I've been a proponent of, and that is, you know, you have learned many trades. You've become a jack of all trades, so to speak, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And by going out and doing, and now your current volunteerism that you're doing over there at Pioneer Farms, you're gaining more skills. Even if it doesn't help you find a job, it's helped you learn how to do things that can help your ability to survive. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree, and, you know, the thing is we've been kind of talking about, you know, manual trades, but, you know, and doing manual labor, but I was thinking about it. I mean, there's other things that you can do.
Exactly.
How about volunteering for Meals on Wheels?
Right.
Or some type of, you know, a homeless service that helps get homeless, round up homeless into the shelters.
Yeah, yeah. And my mother does Meals on Wheels. She absolutely loves it. And, you know, one of the things about this, I really believe that part of being a survivalist is giving back as well.
Well, I'm thinking about the giving back aspect, but, you know, you do Meals on Wheels, you're driving around all over the city. You're learning your area.
That's right.
And, you know, and I know you've been, you know, you've talked about it in the past about know three or four different ways to get out.
Yeah, know what better way than to be delivering food to people?
Exactly. I mean, here you are. You're doing it. I mean, I worked for the census over this summer. I learned more of South Austin than I ever knew existed and different ways around it. And so it's like, wow. You know, it amazes me that, you know, and I know that there's the segment of survivalists that kind of come out there and say, nope, I'm going to head for the woods. I'm, you know, I've got my AR-15 and 1,000 round or 10,000 rounds of ammunition and, you know, 10 years of MREs all packed up in the cabin out in the woods away from everybody. So when it hits, I'm gone.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm kind of at whatever category as well, you know. You're not going to be able to do that, but think about what you're doing as you volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're building, you're learning people, you're learning things from other people, you're meeting people
right.
who may be able to teach you stuff. I mean, I can't count the number of people that, you know, I've run into doing various things that had an interesting story to tell. or just something to say, gosh, I remember when I was a kid doing something like this, we would do it this way. And
yeah.
you sit there and you listen. And I think that's the key to it all, is I think we have to learn how to listen.
Well, yeah, we do. And, you know, I like what you're saying about the volunteerism and the part-time work that you've done, because volunteerism and part-time work also helps you build your contact base. You know, I've been a big proponent about your contacts, your sphere of influence, who you know. And not just in finding a job, but your contact base, you know, hey, let's face it, if the crap hits the fan, if it gets stinky out there one day and you have to start relying on others, if you know people in the community, I think that can be a big asset.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, and that's one of the things that I'm working on is learning and meeting new people and, you know, trying to be, you know, be out there and be friendly and shake hands and say hi, and you know, somebody is interested in something that I know, I'm like, fine, let's trade, let's do something.
Yeah,
you know, cash is nice, but hey, I knew nothing about guns, and I sat down with Andrea and showed her how to sharpen, and she sent me that fantastic PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, and now you've learned a little bit about firearms.
I've learned pistols, but you know, I've learned more about them than I ever knew.
Yeah, that's great. So when are you going to get your first firearm?
Well, I really kind of need to have the money and the budget for it.
I know. You got to have the money. That's true. You know,
unless somebody wants to trade me for one, you know.
Well, now that you brought that up, let me tell you a story, and this is for the listener's benefit. I've done that. I've traded for a firearm before. It was a long time ago. It was about 6 years ago. I don't have the pistol anymore. I sold it. But the very first handgun I ever owned, which was a SIG P226 9mm, pretty expensive, nice gun, I actually traded for. I had some products and services that were outdated, that were technologically outdated, but I had a customer that still wanted them. And they were worth about $1,200, and I also included some of my training with it, and I said, I'll help you install it as well. And I did all that. Took me about 4.5 hours worth of work, and I gave him about $1,200 worth of product, and even though it was outdated, he wanted it. And he happened to be a federal firearms dealer. And so, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I went to pick up a SIG 9mm handgun.
Well, there you go. See? I mean, you know, I mean, I've got, my wife's got an uncle firearms. And unfortunately, he's having some health issues. And so we're talking to him about it, because I know his wife doesn't want him in the house anymore. And these are, you know, the health issues, or mental health issues, with Alzheimer's and things like that. And so, you know, it's not a good combination to have that mixing. And so, you know, we're trying to talk them into, you know, maybe, hey, you know, send them up our way or we'll come get them.
Sure.
You know, and
yeah.
You know, we can, and that way I can get them, but it just, it hasn't worked out the best just yet, but we're still,
well,
know, still working on it. But anybody else wants to trade, I'm willing to listen. And
yeah, there you go. And the great thing is because of the barter and the trade agreement that you made with Andrea, also known as Penguin of Doom, now you have a good education because of the PowerPoint that she put out on what you're about to get into once you start getting into some firearms, right?
Yeah. It's an excellent start. I mean, the other thing with Andrea is, you know, her husband wants to learn blacksmithing.
Great.
And knife making, and she wants to learn some of it as well, and we're already talking about a second deal. You know, she mentioned something to me about trading for the CHL training.
There you go. There
and
you
I
go.
Was like, hey, I'll do that.
Yeah, because she's a certified CHL here in Texas. For people who don't know, that means concealed handgun license, and she's a certified trainer for that. So that's great. You could maybe work something out with her on that.
Exactly. You know, that's my what I'm thinking here, because, you know, it's like, what, you know, I have access to the training now. gee,
right.
What better way to do it? And having sat with Andrea, you know, she's a fantastic trainer, especially for newbies. I mean, for someone who knows nothing about a gun.
Mm-hmm.
She is fantastic with that.
Yeah, and there's a big need for that. She is good, and I've had a chance to go shooting with Andrea and her husband, and she does have a way of teaching it, which is very good. So let's shift gears again. Let's kind of jump back to something you said earlier, Matt.
Okay.
Your volunteer work at Pioneer Farms in Austin, what would you say is the single greatest asset or the best thing that you've learned from your time there?
Oh boy, that's interesting. But actually stepping up and offering to help.
Okay.
You know, and this is going to sound a little odd, but Pioneer Farms is going through a transition right now. They, for a long while, it was an independently operated thing. Then the city of Austin took it over, and now it's back to being operated by the Austin Heritage Society, which is an independent organization. It's not being operated by the city anymore.
Okay.
And so there were some years where it was really, really great, and there were a lot of people, and there was a lot of help and stuff. And now it's kind of fallen off again because the city took, when the city left, you know, some of the paid people left positions, and some of the volunteers left, and it appears there was some bad blood in at the end of it, how the city was running, and then in that transfer of power, as it were, from the city to the Heritage Society, there just some stuff got lost in that transfer, and there was some bad blood between some organizations that had come out and done stuff out there at the farm, and that you know, no longer wanting to do it.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know the whole politics involved in all that, but you know, there is some stuff. So there's a need for people out there.
And yeah, there is.
And they're really looking for people who are wanting to do that. As a matter of fact, I took my wife out there a couple weeks ago, and as I've said before, my wife is a knitter, a crocheter, a spinner. You know, does all this really great stuff, and you know, she came out and she saw some stuff and she was interested in kind of volunteering. And the great thing is Pioneer Farms lets you bring your kids out.
Oh, they do? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The kids can come out. They can be Pioneer kids.
Cool.
They get to come out and they get to run around and play games and do things that Pioneer kids would have done.
That's cool.
And so, you know, we talked about it, and it was like, hey, one day a week we can guarantee where the kids can get outside and run around and do things. You know, what better way of doing it? You know, and guaranteeing that once a week, you know, or even if it's not once a week, at least a couple times a month, they're out in the great outdoors.
Yeah.
In a much more natural setting than taking them to the local park or something.
And that's so important, I really believe, for kids. You know, so many kids are just not introduced to the great outdoors these days, and there's so much to learn out there, and it's really a shame, because later on in life, they have no clue about that stuff, do they?
Exactly. And, you know, so I'm like, what better way to introduce it in a very, I mean, it's a controlled setting, but, you know, there's no video games, there's you cell phones and things like that. You know, now all of us out there have a cell phone on us, you know, but only in rare occasions do we actually keep them. And I stepped up to them and the other day with all the cattle and stuff being out there. I said, okay, I'll go help round them up. And, but they were looking, you know, out at Pioneer Farms, we have snakes and we get rattlesnakes and we get cottonmouths and stuff. Well, I used to keep snakes and reptiles as pets. And I worked in a pet store years ago helping keep those things up. So I know how to handle snakes. I know how to handle reptiles and things like that. And so, you know, they've had a few instances where they've had rattlesnakes on the paths, and they've had to have visitors walk around them, and they've had to go out and catch them or kill them.
And you were there.
Well, no, I haven't been there for it, but I'm like...
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
You know, I haven't been there long enough to actually run into that yet, but I know it's coming, you know, because I just gave them my cell phone number. I said, I keep my phone on me all the time. I'm just going to be down at the blacksmith shop. You can tell me where it is, and I can run over there and get the thing.
Yeah, what did they think of that?
They thought it was a fantastic idea because we've got a shortage of people. We've got one woman who works in our general store, but she's the only person there. She doesn't mm-hmm. have someone to, you know, kind of take her place. So if on a Friday something like that happens, she has to stay there, or she has to lock the entire store up, which means that visitors can't pay mm-hmm. to get in, and people can't come in and buy any souvenirs from us. You know, and that's a source of revenue for the farm.
Yeah, it is.
And and the farm also sells farm fresh eggs. You know, I've been buying a couple dozen eggs every week.
Man, I wish I could get my hands on some of those.
Oh, I'll tell you, and the price is right. It's about a dollar less than anything here in town.
Yeah. You know, boy, I miss those farm fresh eggs. We used to raise our own farm fresh eggs when I was a kid. And,
well, see now, Bob, here's an advantage to moving to Austin.
Yeah, well, I know
they
it.
Let
I'm
you
thinking.
Keep chickens in your yard.
Yeah, I think they do in most parts of San Antonio, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just trying to get you to Austin.
I know you're trying to get me there. I know. Yeah, but if I'm in San Antonio, I'm not that far away.
No, that's true. That's very true. But, you know, one of the other things that I've stepped up is I just offered to do some minor maintenance. You know, they've got old houses there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to glaze a window. I know how to do it right. I said, yeah, you get busted windows. Yeah, all we got to do is get the supplies. I can put a window in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to take me, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes if it's a window.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were kind of like, really? You do that? They were surprised that I actually knew how to do that. And, but I was, like I said earlier, I was out at a board meeting. Well, I kind of play with social media a little bit. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and I'm learning how to do promote my sharpening business.
Right.
And matter of fact, I'm taking a class here on Friday with one of the small business development people, because they actually have a program here in Austin for that. It's a great city to try to run a small business in. There's so much support for us. But they offered up the class, and it's all on social media and how to bring it into your business, how to work it as a part of your overall marketing scheme.
Yeah, nice.
How to generate leads using it. But I also, you know, because I know a little bit about it, you know, I was chatting with somebody totally unrelated to the farm, one of the people who owns one of the stores that my wife works at, one of the yarn stores, was looking for some help on doing some marketing and trying to get people in and trying to figure out ways to bring people in, and I made some suggestions. And, you know, she said, hey, look, if you're willing to do it as a volunteer thing, I'll let you do all of the work for it. They have what they call a yarn crawl, and it's kind of like a pub crawl for knitters. It's the easiest way to describe it. There's like 10 or so yarn stores in the area, and they take buses and they hit all the yarn stores from San Antonio to Marble Falls to, you know, they're all different places.
Cool.
Here in Central Texas, and they go and they do this, but they don't do any real social media marketing. And I said, well, you could do this, you could do this. And she's like, you want to do it? And I said, yeah, okay, I'll volunteer my time. She's like, I think it would be, she's like, if you do that and we can get some stuff, maybe I can get you paid next year to do it. And
yeah,
maybe we can get you on with some of these other people doing it for them, and you can get a little consulting fee.
Yeah. And, you know, you never know where it's going to lead, do you?
You don't. And I just offered to do the same thing out at Pioneer Farms. And, you know, at the board meeting, I said, you know, look, I've been on Facebook, you know, and looking for you guys. There's not much there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't. And the Twitter page, I subscribed to it. You know, the last Twitter post was almost a month ago.
Nobody's keeping up with it.
And, you know, and the thing about, you know, something like Twitter is you've got to keep up. And I was like, I've got a buddy of mine who's a photographer.
Uh-huh.
Who's a sweetheart of a guy and does some excellent photography. And I just said, you know, look, can we get him out there just doing for a free admission? And they actually suggested maybe I have him volunteer. And they'll let him wander around the place taking pictures as a volunteer. And he can go take pictures of all the events, and then we have pictures for Facebook.
Cool.
And you know, this friend of mine, he's an absolute amazing artist. If you've ever looked at my Facebook page, because I know we're friends on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
If you look at that picture there where you see that hammer striking that hot metal and flexing it, what I'm doing is cutting something off hot. That photographer actually took that picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a great picture. I've seen that.
That is an amazing picture. And it just blows my mind every time I see it. He happened to get that. That was one of those one in a million shots. He caught it right at the right time. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, and all I did literally to get the photograph was I bartered again.
Tell us the bartering story.
I asked if he'd be willing to share the pictures, you know, because I said, you know, I'd like to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah. And then when I got them, I was so impressed. I said, Jules, you know, look, man, can can I use, can I post them up to Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll credit you. I'll list you in there as who took them and everything. And he was like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, do it.
Cool.
I've got some like 30 or 40 pictures for free.
Yeah. See, and then, again, you brought up a great bartering testimonial. That's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but for the unknown, you know, everybody has some type of commodity. It doesn't have to be working with your hands. Maybe you do know how to build a website.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know how to podcast. Because I know I'm going to be hitting you up for that because I've been podcast.
Yeah, and I'm self-taught, but trust me, nobody showed me anything on how to do this.
Oh, I know. I've been researching it, but I'm like, you know what? I know somebody who does it.
Yep.
And
yep.
If I can, you know, and I think the key to it in learning anything is, you know, I think I heard someplace recently that, you know, intelligence is going out and looking for it and making your mistakes and doing things over and over again.
That's right.
Wisdom is finding people who've made the mistakes and learning from them.
That's exactly right. So learn from the podcasting mistakes I've made, because I've made quite a few.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's like, you know, anybody starting anything up from scratch obviously makes mistakes.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems with people today and with the education system and everything else is they're all so afraid of making mistakes.
Yeah, I know it. And, you know, we got to close this here in a couple of minutes, but,
okay.
You know, this is a good way to close it. You know, folks, if you're listening to this, I just want to say, don't be afraid to go out and make mistakes. You know, the point that Matt just made there is so critical. You know, if you're going to reinvent yourself, if you're going to engage in volunteerism or some part-time work, or you're going to try something that's going to be new for you, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because it is truly a learning experience.
Well, I used to say to people when I had a real job working in an office and stuff, I had people always afraid of making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people worked under me and stuff, and they were always afraid of making mistakes. And I said, I told them flat out, I've made mistakes to this company, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, a $5 mistake is a nothing mistake. Don't ever be afraid of that.
That's
when
right.
If you make the $10,000 mistake, then we, you know.
Well, hopefully if you learn from the $5 mistake, you won't make the $10,000
mistake. Exactly. But you can't be afraid of mistakes. They're great teaching tools. And, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt.
Right. That's right. As long as nobody gets hurt, learn from it. Well, Matt, I think we're kind of pushing up against the time limit, because I don't like my podcasts to go too long. That's one thing. That's one free tip I'll give out there to everybody is don't let them drag on too long. Brevity is the spice of life, you know?
Yes.
So, Matt, thanks for coming on. I very much appreciate that. And, you've shared some excellent stuff. I love it when you share personal experiences, because that's what I want this show to be about. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for having me again. And, Bob, we've got to get a second podcast going a third podcast going here on doing a more complete deal on sharpening.
We may do that. We may do that. I may have you come on again in a couple weeks and expand on knife sharpening. That'd be great.
Okay, that sounds great, Bob.
Well, thanks for coming on, Matt, and don't get too homesick for Wisconsin, okay?
I'm sorry, something broke up here. I just missed that.
I said don't get too homesick for Wisconsin.
I'm not. I never get too homesick.
Yeah, well, in August in Texas, you might get homesick for Wisconsin. We'll put it that way.
just a little bit.
Take care. Take care, my friend. Have a good one. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Matt. Great stories. Thanks for sharing your personal experiences, your experiences about bartering, and the training that you have been able to acquire. It's good stuff, folks. Thanks again. And by the way, let me just finish up by extending the opportunity to everybody who listens to my show. If you would like to be a guest on today's survival show, if you've got some things that you'd like to add, by all means, let's do it. If you use Skype, we can do a Skype-to-Skype call, and I can record it. Or if you're like Matt and you just want to get on a phone and talk to me by phone, I can do it that way too. So let me know. And with that said, that pretty much concludes this episode. You got two podcasts this week from me. I wanted to make up for being absent for a few weeks. And I'll catch you again next week, probably middle of the week, with another excellent topic. So my name is Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show. It's my goal to help you harness the power of choice. Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you next time. Bye.